Thanksgiving.
Amen.
We're so glad you're with us this morning. And let's all stand and sing a song number 644. Count your blessings. We have many of them to count. FM radio transmission, but like to thank you all for being here this morning. Things can be a little bit different. In our prayer concerns, we want to lift up the preacher and his family again because Sister Amy got diagnosed with COVID yesterday, so, and Brian is just now getting over it, so we need to keep them in our prayers. As far as announcements, we've got a few in the back of the bulletin. Just look them over at your leisure there. And I'd like to welcome anybody who wants to come to start our choir practice back up on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock. So if you'd like to come and be with us, show up on 6 o'clock. And then 7 o'clock we'll have our Wednesday night refueling. With that, let's bow our head and get into the service. Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house amongst your people. And it's a good day. It's a good day that you've made, and it's a blessed day. And we need to count our blessings that you've given us because you've given us many. I'd like to remember, again, the pastor and his family. I'd like to also remember the Pennington family, as they've got many issues that are before them. We have an extensive list of the lost and unsaved that we regularly go over on Tuesday morning. I'd like to lift them up to you. I'd like to remember the leaders of our country, that they make godly decisions that will glorify you. Last of all, just be with us as we go about in this service, that it may be a blessing to you and uplifting to you. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
you can see, our preacher's not here. But we do have a backup plan. We're going to be, there's three of us are going to be giving our short testimonies and life here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, how we come about, how we do things here, and just get a little bit more introduction about ourselves and what we've done for this church. And Brother K. Jesse is going to be first up, and I'd like to welcome him up here.
Morning, church. Yeah, when I got up here, the first thing I was going to say is, don't panic, I'm not preaching. Ken and I were talking earlier about how awesome it is and fear-instilling it is to have to stand at the pulpit. How does the pastor do it? You know, he does it Sunday in, out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out. It's an awesome responsibility. But Brother Brian thought this would be a good time for us to have a deacon introduction Sunday where the deacons could appear before you and share a little bit about our lives and our service here at Thomas Village. Other than Brother Otis, I am the longest serving deacon here at Thomas Village now. I have been so blessed and so honored to serve with some wonderful, God-fearing, spirit-filled men that served as deacons of this church. We've been blessed, folks, in this church. A lot of churches struggle to find men that will serve as deacons, but we, Thomas Village, has not had that problem, and I thank God for that. If you don't know me, I think most days, some of you have known me all my life, but if you don't, my name's K. Jesse. And some people, some people will look at the bulletin and say, they got a woman for a deacon. Her name's K. Jesse, you know. But I came by that name. My dad's first cousin was his best buddy growing up. And he promised him, he said, if I ever have a son, I'm going to name him after you. And his middle name was Kay, so that's how I came up with the name Kay. I have served here at Thomas Village as a member since 1992. I was the first deacon ordained in this building, the new building, in 1996. I made a profession of faith at the age of 13, a little church over at Natural Tunnel. You know, I was like just about every one of my friends growing up. I had a drug problem. Mom and Dad drug us to church everywhere, you know. It wasn't just church next door. It would be in other communities. They heard about a revival going on. Mom and Dad was likely to be there. So I made a profession of faith at the age of 13. But I really didn't surrender my life to the Lord until I was in my 20s. And boy, did I see things start happening after I really gave him my life. My favorite scripture. Brother Brian has kind of given us a list. And, you know, when you get my age, you got to write things down because they're hard to remember. So I sat down last night, you know, with Brian's list and say, not just recall what I needed to share with you. My favorite scripture for many years, yeah. Like a lot of people, my favorite scripture. Scripture was John 3:16. But as I got older, my focus changed and my relationship with the Lord has changed. And so my favorite verse now is Psalms 51:10. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Brother Brian wanted to talk about the battles that we faced as deacons of this church. And the hardest battles have been the folks we've lost. You know, I look at these pews, and I still see that person sitting there that sat here for so long. And that's hard. when somebody in your church hurts, you hurt the wrong side of them. It hurts too. You know, we know they've gone on to be with the Lord, and we rejoice in that, but we miss that relationship and that fellowship that we had with them. Especially hard for me has been losing Sheena, and Sister Wanda, and Brother Philip. And most of you know Brother Philip and I were best of friends. He always loved to tell people, you know, he says, Brother Kay and I met in the first grade, and we've been best friends ever since, and there was never a truer statement. I love the fact that he came back to this community and came to this church and served alongside me. At the best of everything, he served alongside me as a deacon, too. And I can't think of Brother Phil without thinking about the times he would stand before us and be filled with the Spirit, and he'd be so filled he couldn't hardly talk for crying, because he was just slagged by the Holy Spirit. And so that has been a battle that I've fought, and it's been a hard struggle. I guess the next hardest battles has been the times when we've been without a pastor. We've been through that. You know, I threatened Brian. I said, you're going to retire here. Or until I die, one or the other, because I don't want to have to go through that battle again of finding another pastor. The last couple years, my biggest battle as a deacon is my loss of hearing. And those of you who know me know how bad that has gotten. It's very difficult. It's almost impossible now for me to talk on the telephone. Speaking with people in person, the mask have made it difficult, because I have to rely on lip reading a lot too. So, you know, pray for me in that. That's a battle that I'm still fighting. If you notice, I don't sing. When we sing hymns, I don't sing. Because, folks, I can't understand the words, and I can't carry the tune. And I always love to sing, even though I'm not a singer. I've always loved music. But music for me now is just, it's more or less noise. So it's a great struggle, and it's a battle. But now I get to the best part. I want to talk about my blessings since I've been here at Thomasville and since I've been a deacon. My greatest blessing in this church is to see somebody saved. Folks, that's why we're here. It's to witness to the world and see the lost come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The next blessing is really close behind that, and that's to see somebody baptized. You know, I firmly believe that Jesus intended for us to be baptized. And after that, it's seeing someone step up to serve. You know, we really harp on that quite a bit, that God has given you a talent to use in this church. You need to be using that talent. Only you know what it is. We can't tell you what it is. But I love seeing his children come up to serve. Another great blessing since I've been a deacon is seeing my children saved, seeing them baptized, and even more important, see them step up and serve. That has been a great blessing. And having my precious wife. You know, being a deacon is not a one-person job. It's a two-person job. That deacon has to have a supportive wife. Someone that's with him and prays with him, prays for him, and supports him. And mine has certainly done that, and she is the best part of me, people, believe me. Another blessing is that I've been trusted by the church to teach God's Word. When I was growing up in high school, if you said, what do you want to do when you get out of school? I said, I want to be a school teacher. And that's what I started college to do. Life's what happens when you're making other plans, isn't it? God intended me to be a teacher, just not in the way I thought. He intended me to teach His Word, not math, which was what my first name was. And the church has trusted me with the youth in this church to teach them in the Awana class. Another blessing is being trusted to serve on the board of Hope Christian Ministries. It's a great ministry that this community sees now. We're reaching out to those that are less fortunate in food and in clothing. So yes, I've had battles as a deacon, but I've had a whole lot more blessings as a deacon. And my final blessing, I say, is you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's a hard road to travel as a Christian, isn't it? But it's a whole lot easier to travel when you know you got people going along with you. And I thank you for the journey that you're taking with me. Before I turn the pulpit over to Brother John, I want to leave you with these verses from the book of James. James was very adamant about us working as Christians. He wasn't talking about working to be a Christian. He was talking about working because you are a Christian. In the first chapter of James, verses 19 through 25, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This man shall be blessed in his deed. God bless you, my brothers and sisters.
Morning, church. My heart's pounding. I'm terrified, so bear with me this morning. And if you would, I just want to bow real quick and say a quick word of prayer to the Lord right now. Well, Father God, Lord, I just offer this testimony up to you right now, Father. I pray that it just be pleasing and glorifying to you in every way possible. And Father, Lord, as always, I give thanks for all things, and most of all for Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' sweet name that I pray right now. Amen. All right, so, as Brother Kay mentioned, him being the second longest tenured deacon, I believe he's what he said. I myself am the shortest tenured deacon by far. I've been deacon serving for a little over 10 months now. I was ordained on February the 22nd, or 21st, 2021 of this year. But my time with Thomas Village does go back a little bit further than that. My mother and father made the decision to bring my sister and I here back in the winter of 96 or 97, 1996, 97, that we started attending here. So since the age of 8 years old, I have been a regular attendee, you could say, here at Thomas Village. And obviously from such a young age and from the perspective of just being a young boy, I don't remember a whole lot from this sanctuary, but I can say that the one ministry that did leave a imprint or a stamp on my life at that time was our Sunday school ministry. I started out in our third and fourth grade class. The downstairs wasn't finished, so The youth was over here in the fellowship hall, and the rest of the Sunday school was right here in this wing. And I believe I was in Dale Edwards, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Sister Sharon was in that class as well, as our teachers at the time. And there was about three or four other children in there. And I remember at that time just getting the biggest thing that I got out of that was coming to learn about prayer. And that prayer was not simply for bedtime, or prayer was not simply for meals, or for special occasions, or, you know, when we're just in our ruts, in our valleys, so to speak. And again, gotta remember, I'm looking at this from the perspective of an eight, nine-year-old boy. But every single day after class, when class was over with, Dale would close us out in prayer, and he would open us up, and then we would do just a group prayer, go clockwise around the table. Anyone who wanted to pray right then and there could, and then Dale again would close us back out. And I got so much out of that. It's hard to put into words. I'll just quote here what Paul writes for us in Philippians 4:6. Says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." God wants us to talk to Him all the time, not just out of desperation. He wants us to be in communication with Him all the time. So just after a year of attending here, I began to come to the realization, though, that coming to church wasn't enough. Saying my prayers wasn't enough. Coming to prayer time, even before school, on the mornings through the week, wasn't enough. I needed a Savior because I was a sinner. And so in the spring of 1998, I answered the altar call. Right here in this sanctuary, I believe I was right in here somewhere in one of these two pews, and my hands had a death grip. I had like a vice grip on the pew in front of me. I didn't want to go up, but the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and finally I came forward and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Brother Jeff DeBoard at the time led me in a very, you could say, generic sinner's prayer, but I knew that it wasn't the prayer that saved me at that moment. It was what Jesus had done for me that saved me, and I accepted it and I believed what he had done. Romans 10:9, Paul writes to us, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And from that moment, I gave my life to Jesus, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from that moment, the Holy Spirit began to remold me, and I was born again, so He began to mold me and reshape me. And the first thing He did was light a small fire in me, and I remember developing a sincere interest in God's Word from that point forward, and wanting to hear and wanting to learn about what God's Word had to say. And again, I'm still around just 10, 11, 12 years old. And at this time, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I realized that my life wasn't matching up with what God's Word said. The way that I was behaving, you know, outside of the vision of my parents, behind my parents' back, so to speak, wasn't necessarily matching up with what this Word right here says. And He convicted me on that, and I realized that I needed to live to be like Christ in all ways, in all manners. In Romans 6:1-2 say, Paul asks the questions. He says, "What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died in sin still live in it?" So I knew that I could no longer, even as just an 11, 12-year-old boy, I could not live a life of sin. And so the Holy Spirit continued and still continues to this day to mold me and to sanctify me and to make me like more and more like Christ. And that'll be a process that doesn't end until the day that I'm called home or Christ comes back, one, whichever comes first. But I continued attending here all the way up through my youth, through high school at Thomas Village. I continued to grow both physically and spiritually. And I had a bit of a, I guess you could say, I hate to call it arrogance. I hate to call myself arrogant, but it maybe was. But it was a bit of, it'll never happen to me. Since kind of that mentality, you know, it'll never happen to me. Everything about us, just everything about me and my life, and my family was just going almost ideal. And in October 2008, the Lord called my mother home to be with Him. And that was a major, major blow. And I can say through the, He did prepare me for it. He prepared me for that moment through the year of 2008. He gave me closure as that moment approached. It wasn't just a, I can't say that I was wanting my mother to die, but I did have a great sense of closure prior to her dying, that I just knew that she probably needed to be home with the Lord rather than down here on this earth. And of course, I was away at college most of the time and continued through college and got my first job up in Radford. So I was away from Thomas Village a little while for a short stint. And I came back here in 2013 I was working for the same employer, but a different job, a different role, and was back down here in Southwest Virginia again working in Duffield. And again, I felt the Holy Spirit through that year, 2013, beginning to convict me. Because while I was wanting to be like Christ and I was wanting to serve Christ, I was still wanting to do it on John's schedule. You know, it was John living his life according to John's plan, and I'll serve God as I'm going along, that my own path is kind of how I was living. And I felt strong conviction to just further surrender my life again, not just my heart, but surrender my selfishness to God, and that I had to live my life how according to whatever God had scheduled for me, whatever God had planned for me. And the first thing there in 2013 that I seen fit, that I felt called to do, was to join as a member here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And shortly after that, I believe Sister Allison Gerald came up to me and asked me if I wanted to help in children's Sunday school. So it didn't take long for the Lord to begin to put me where He wanted me, where He wanted me to serve. But then in November 2013, another bump in the road. I had a seizure while driving, and nothing happened in the accident. No injuries, no property damage. But the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles didn't like it too much. And they said I had to go 6 months without driving. And I wasn't having seizures very, very frequently necessarily, but I was having seizures just frequently enough that I couldn't get my driver's license back. And so from about 2013 to 2018, I found myself being rather immobile in rural USA. So you can imagine that. I was feeling a little bit down on myself at times, I must admit. But Thomas Village Baptist Church, namely, I have to say Joe Carter, He gave me a ride to and from church every single service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. And I would have to say, and Scott and Allison Gerald as well. They live right there close by to me, and so they gave me plenty of rides. And I'm sure, and there are many other people that helped me out during this time that I can't think of or recall. But I have to say, I wouldn't trade one day for all those mornings of getting to ride in the vehicle with Scott and Ann and Hazel and Jeanette and myself, all five of us adults packed in the vehicle together, coming to and from church. That was just it was a blessing that can't be described with words. And it was some time over that period. It wasn't a single aha moment, but I did realize that Thomas Village Baptist Church was my family. And it has been just a great, great blessing to be here. And I'll read one last thing from Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. Talking about Jesus right here, it says, "And he replied to them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who were sitting in a circle around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my God is my brother and sister and mother.'" And so, right here to all of my brothers and sisters and mothers in Christ, thank you. I love you, and I look forward to continue serving Jesus Christ with you.
I'm like John. Heart's beating. Never know when I took public speaking in school. But probably didn't notice it, but I'm not from around here. Because I talk like everybody else. But I have been here a long time. My father was born and raised over in Lee County, over in Dryden. And he was 18 years old. He left home to go to Michigan to start working at General Motors. And I was born and raised in up Michigan, went to school, and I did a role reversal. When I was 18, I come down here. And come this March, it'll be 40 years I've been down here. And counting your blessings, I've had the same job for 40 years down here over here at Joy, and I've been real blessed with that. And I'm kind of like John. I answered the call when I was we had a youth thing at school, or not school, but at church. We went to a little thing you do when I was about 14 or 15 years old, and I felt the calling also, and accepted Christ there at the conference we was at, but never did really do too much with it after that. I mean, I'd be convicted and do things that, you know, young men shouldn't do and repent on it. But when I moved down here, I sporadically started different churches in the area. I was actually, I was telling Kay this morning, two or three times I was in the original church building here at the Thomas Village Baptist Church over there in the village with Darrell Foot Fletcher. I went there two or three times. I went over to the funeral home. I was over there a dozen times or so. But it wasn't until about 2003 that I started getting serious about my faith. And I had been attending, I don't know, 99, 2000, 2001. I'd come sit right there in the back row with Zane Carter. Zane Carter and I worked together, and Zane was a great friend and a good manner, as well as Moselle. And it wasn't until Gary Edwards come in 2003 that I really started getting serious about my faith and really started to get convicted about what I needed to do to serve the Lord. And I'm thinking, if I got the year right, it was July 4th, 2005 when I was baptized here, Independence Day. And to me, that kind of, it was an Independence Day for me, because I fulfilled what the Scripture wanted me to do, and that was to be baptized, as well as, you know, make a public profession of faith. And things started happening after that. You know, things starts work. The Lord starts working in you and doing different things. You know, I joined the choir. I was in the orchestra. And things just kind of progressed. But it wasn't until 4 or 5 years ago, I was approached to become a deacon, and I kind of turned it down because I didn't think that I was ready for it. And the truth being, I wasn't ready for it. But on another July 4th day, 2018, another Independence Day, is when I become a deacon here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And it was just my goal to serve and do whatever the Lord wanted me to do. And I'm trying to do that. But every time I wear a jacket, somebody asks me if I'm preaching, and I've told a couple of them today, this is the closest you'll see me preaching, because I don't have that gift. But I do have a little message that I want everybody to take home with them and think about and study about. And it goes along with Genesis 3. And I'm going to read the chapter of Genesis 3, and I'm going to go on to my little story here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them that both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, wherefore I commanded thee that thou should eat, not eatest? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. There's a little story that's really stuck with me over the years, and it's one of those things I kind of carry with me. And some of us older people remember there was a TV spot back in the 70s, and it was a Keep America Beautiful campaign, and there was an Indian in a canoe, a I see somebody shaking your head, and he's paddling. There's a bunch of garbage in there. And it's about how the water's polluted. And a single tear rolls down his eyes. And that guy's name was Iron Eyes Cody. And he was an American Indian, and he was an actor in the Hollywood TV films and stuff. And he had this story that he heard from his youth, and he likes to tell this story to young kids, and it has to do with sins. And so many years ago, an Indian brave would go away into solitude to prepare for manhood. And one of these little Indian guys, he hiked in this beautiful valley, green with trees, bright with flowers. There he looked upon the surrounding mountains. He noticed one rugged peak capped with the dazzling snow. I know Brother Philip and I share the same thing. We get this visual thing in our head, you know, where we can kind of see what's going on when you're telling a story. So you kind of put yourself in there. And he says, I will test myself against the mountain, he thought. So he put on his buffalo hide shirt, threw his blanket over his shoulder, and set off to climb the pinnacle. He made it all the way up there, and when he reached the top, he stood with the rim of the world. He could see forever. His heart swelled with pride because he made it. And then he heard a little rustling at his feet. And looking down, he saw a snake. And before he could move, the snake spoke to him. Kind of like the passage I just read in Genesis. So I'm about to die, said the snake. It's too cold for me up here, and there's no food. Put me under your shirt and take me down to the valley. And you said, no. He says, you know, I know your kind. You're a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you'll bite, and your bite will kill me. And he says, no, not so, said the rattlesnake. I will treat you differently from everybody else. If you do this for me, I promise I won't harm you. And the youth, he resisted for a long time. But it's a very persuasive snake. Kind of like the one in Genesis. At last, the youth tucked it under his shirt and carried it down to the valley. There he laid it down gently. And all of a sudden, the snake coiled up, rattled, leaped, bit him on the leg. But you promised, cried the youth. The snake looked at him and said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. And the snake slithered away. So this Iron Eyes Cody says, now wherever I go, I tell that story to young people who might be tempted by drugs or sin or something like that. But as you leave today, remember that saying of the snake. Remember what I was. Remember what I was when you picked me up. So that's going to end my little sermonette, you could say. But as we go about our daily walk here this week with the Lord, let's just take this time. Nancy, could you come up and let's play something? We'll never want to leave a meeting or assemblage of people where if something's on your heart, this is the place to lay it, and this is the time to do it. If you've got a rattlesnake that's in your pocket and you want to get rid of them, right up here is the place to put them. And leave them here at the altar and let God take care of it. Thank you. got, due to some extenuating circumstances, we will not be having service tonight. So, we was hoping we'd get somebody lined up for tonight, but that did not work out. So, everybody gets to stay home tonight and be with their families. And let's bow in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, it's been a good day in your house today, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be amongst your people. And I'm glad you showed up to be with us today, and bless us with your presence. Be with all those who are sick and infirmed in the hospital. Be with Brother Brian and his family. Be with all those others that are sick and couldn't be here. Just go about with us this week as we go about our jobs and our families, and just thank you for all the blessings and mercies. And let's just hold near to our heart that we may be able to put away that sin that it likes to attach itself to us, and just be with us as we go. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.